Welcome to Shh, We're Reading Dirty Books. I'm Kalina.
And I'm Thrilla. Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Got real fancy with your name today.
Yeah, I got all of...
That's her fancy Cambodian name. That's
my fancy name. It's actually the correct way to pronounce it.
All her white friends can't say that.
Even my parents don't call me that. I don't even know why I'm named it, but I am.
So we don't even try.
Yeah, so I have a plethora of nicknames, which is great.
Yes. All right. So here we are. This is our 10th recording.
Episode 10.
Woo.
Celebration.
So amazing.
Sound pop. Champagne.
Oh, I actually have champagne. I should be drinking that.
You haven't been drinking.
It's been a couple of episodes now.
You've been sick. So, I mean,
I've been sick. I find that the act of going to the liquor store is harder for me to accomplish than it really should be. I like drinking. But it's always like Thursday. Mm-hmm. I'm running home to meet you to get, you know, so we can do our recording. And I'm on my drive home going, I don't have fucking liquor. I never have anything in the house. Because once I usually just buy a bottle of wine at a time and then I drink it and then it's gone. And so I've decided.
Are you completely out of wine?
Always.
All right.
I'm literally always out of wine.
I literally.
Because I buy a bottle, then I drink it.
That's the reason, though. I mean, that makes sense. You buy wine
and then you drink it.
I buy wine and it sits on my cabinet. So I will bring wine next time.
Okay.
Yeah, I was supposed to bring beer last time, too, and that didn't happen, but we'll see.
It doesn't really matter. If I really, really, really wanted to drink, I'd stop for
it. Yeah,
but absolutely. I'm always just like, meh, who needs to get out of their car and go to the liquor store?
And you know what? Our confidence is building up as we're recording and talking about this and opening up to ourselves and the world about all this. So.
The world, since this is our 10th episode and no one's heard a single one of them yet. So yes, the world.
The world.
I bet you I start drinking again after we start posting these.
That was awesome. Oh my god, that's awesome.
They start going up and we start getting criticism. And I'm like, I gotta drink, guys.
We're gonna get criticism, so we just gotta.
Yeah, we got it. Well, it's just gonna come. It will.
It's gonna happen.
Or literally zero people will ever hear this, and we'll try, and no one will like us.
We'll have 50 episodes before we go.
And we'll be like, not a single one has been done. Just screaming into the void.
Right. You know? And then we'll just find out that we actually did something wrong and didn't know what the fuck we were doing while we were trying to upload all this stuff. And then,
anyway. So, for our 10th episode, we thought we'd start off with a cute little, just kind of rewind, look at the past 9 episodes with a quick discussion of all of the male characters, the protagonists of our books. Mm-hmm. If we had to have just one as our guy, our main squeeze.
Only one.
Our steady date. I don't know, I'm using really old lingo at this
point.
Yeah. 1950s.
Who wants to pin us?
No!
That means something entirely different now.
Yeah, but that's true.
Yeah, so what we did was we just went through and brought back all of the main characters and put them on a list, and we're going to talk about them, and then we have to make a choice of who it is. It was hard enough for us to remember the character names. And as I was writing them down, I realized I should have wrote down the book that they're related to, which I did not do. So,
ooh, I think we can do that, though.
I think so. Okay.
I think you
can do that.
I can do that.
I can.
Yeah. All right.
So, book number one, Maddox.
Book number one, Maddox. Lord of the Underworld, that was Darkest Night.
See? Told you. It's going to be you. Darkest Night. So, his little lady was Ashlyn.
Just real quick.
Maddox is not mine.
Not mine either. He's a little possessive and a little intense.
Too intense. Too possessive.
Yeah. So, no. Yeah. Number two is Lucien. Also from the Lord of the Underworld series. That's Darkest Kiss.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure of that.
I think
I'm
it is
gonna
Darkest
go with
Kiss.
That.
And his lady was Anya. I liked Lucien. I think Lucien was awesome. I think he's probably one of my tops, but not my number one choice.
No, I'm not a fan. I don't know. Something.
You weren't a fan of the book, so
nope,
I get it.
That's
I get
true.
It.
That's
you didn't like that one, and I liked that one a lot. So, yeah, I get it.
So he's not in my list.
Yes. Quinn from...
Well, technically the next book was that compilation book we read, all the novellas. We're skipping that.
Yeah, because they were all heroines anyway.
And it would have been just real hard. You think you can't remember the names of the people in the whole books we read? Jesus.
That's not going to happen. Anyway,
skipping him. So we go straight to Quinn, which is the first of the Dragon Fire, I think is the name of that series. Yeah, look for the book.
The book is around here somewhere. Yeah.
Freaking, of course
it is. It's over there. What does it say?
So, Kiss of Fire. Yeah, Kiss of Fire was
Sarah and Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Quinn is top on mine. He might end up being number one. We have to talk through them all, and then I'll probably come up with my first, but he is really high.
Yeah. I would say that as well.
He's one or two.
Yes, mine too. One or two from mine too. Which then leads into Roland from...
No, Vlad was next.
Oh, shit. I skipped over Vlad because he's on my list, but I crossed that motherfucker out because we hate him. That's why I skipped over him.
Cross that motherfucker out.
Vlad is from where? God, I have a really bad memory.
Jesus. None of us can freaking remember anything, apparently. He was from...
Once Burned.
Yes. And we didn't like him.
Nope.
He was kind of an asshole.
Yeah, totally.
And just like...
Totally an asshole.
Domineering. He had
condescending.
No... He couldn't empathize.
Yeah, no
at
emotions.
All. Yeah, he seemed emotionless.
Yeah. And then Roland from...
Darkness Dawns.
Ugh, so many darks.
Everything's dark.
Darkness Dawns.
Roland, the Immortal Guardians.
Yes.
Yes. He's top.
He is definitely top.
Because he was pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, he started out as a loner, mm-hmm. but it was like a protective thing.
Yeah, he wasn't really an asshole to him. No, I don't remember the girl's name.
Nope.
But...
I can't... You're asking too much of us.
I remembered most of them up until now. But yeah, he's definitely up there. And then Wrath from Dark Lover.
No, I wasn't a fan of his.
Wasn't a fan of that one either.
That book was hard.
Yeah.
I don't... Also, yeah, no. No, yeah. Let's skip him too. Oh, we have to skip the next
guy. We're also skipping the next guy, Trey from Feral Sins. He is the absolute most bottom of my fucking list.
Oh, God, yeah. No, he's...
Yeah.
Not in a million years would I be in a relationship with him.
Mm-mm. And if it is, it's going to be a rapey relationship.
Oh, he will be raping me because that's I will not.
That
no.
was just, yeah, he is.
And I wouldn't allow any of my friends to be in a relationship with him.
Yeah,
like, even though I don't like, so you know, like, Lucian's not my favorite, if you were in a relationship with Lucian, I wouldn't, like, have a problem with
right.
it.
Right.
If Trey showed up, I'd have to kill him.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you're awful.
Yes. Oh, terrible, terrible. So he's also crossed off our list. And then our last guy, Jericho.
That one's tough.
Dark Fever.
Because I think I might like Jericho. I just don't know.
We don't know because we
don't know.
We don't know dick about that book. So we have no idea.
In it.
And, you guys remember from our last episode how disappointed we were in that, and you understand why we can't really, I can't, Jericho for me at this point, because I don't know shit about him,
that's
is also
true.
Not on my
but
list.
But I have
so.
A feeling, I don't know why, I have a weird feeling that I think he'd be really high on my list if I knew more about him. Maybe it's just the mystery, I don't know.
Good
no.
name.
So it comes down to really Quinn and Roland.
Yeah. Well, and I like, for me, my top three are going to be Quinn, Roland, and Lucian. Because I do like Lucian. I like that quiet type. I mean, not always, but it is going to be between Quinn and Roland.
I think
for sure.
I would put Roland first and Quinn second.
Really?
I know that's a very big surprise.
What?
Because the dragons are my favorite.
That is not what I expected from you.
Quinn's not my favorite of the dragons.
That's why you...
Because he's more family... Orient, like, he intensely wanted to settle down and have mm-hmm. kids. Like, mm-hmm. and he had that past trauma of,
right.
of having a wife and losing her. And I am not particularly family-oriented mm-hmm. or interested mm-hmm. in... And so when we meet some of these guys whom that's, like, their first goal.
Right.
Or, like, you know, that's my other reason for not really liking Maddox. I know it wasn't his goal or anything, but Ashlyn was pregnant by the end of that book. And so it's that's never, like,
right.
that always knocks him down a peg in my mm-hmm. interest, because I'm like, no, we're not going to get married and have children right away, guys. Not happening.
I get it. I respect
it. I like Quinn and I love the dragons, but I think I like Roland a little bit more because he's just like been a loner. He's kind of easing into a relationship, mm-hmm. easing into living with, although they did take it pretty fast at the end there. But
I think they all do. They have to kind of get there.
That's in all the books.
Except for this last fucking book. That didn't go nowhere. Morning Fever. The one with, not the one we're going to talk about today, but other one before this.
Dark Fever.
Yeah, that one. That's so interesting. So Roland forgetting. Okay, that's a tough one. I think for me, it would have to be Quinn, which is interesting. And I am the familial type. Obviously, I have the husband and the family, and so I get it. Plus, he's got, like, super fast-working sperm, which is awesome, and you know instantly when you're pregnant. So, it took Dan and I 10 years to get pregnant, so that is a big-ass plus for me.
You gotta have that supernatural sperm.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we're just talking about our protagonist and our main character guys right now, but I think if I could choose any of the characters that we have been introduced to, it would definitely be Seth from Roland's book.
Yeah, Seth was awesome.
I still think about him a lot.
I think about him and what's his name from the Vlad book? His second in command, Maximus?
Maximus is his name, yep.
I also was like, that guy needs his own book.
Yes, he does need his own book.
There's some characters in today's book who also want. Yeah.
Yes, that we want to know
sometimes
more
those side stories. Yeah.
You guys are going to be happy to know that we have now, since we've been dead past two books, this is a good book.
We love this book.
This is a great book.
We should say, now that we're 13 minutes into to the recording. This is a podcast where we read paranormal romance novels.
We're eventually going to get this right.
And then discuss them. Mm-hmm. And then we tell you that it's a podcast after 14 minutes of blabber.
Of course. It's not just about two girls. Well, it is just about two girls talking about whatever bullshit.
And talking about books. But the real focus, what we do here, the reason we hope you are coming to listen to us, mm-hmm. is we read paranormal romance novels and discuss.
Yes.
So this is our 10th episode. This is our 10th book we're reading. And it's Dragonbound from the Elder Races series by Thea Harrison, narrated by Sophie Eastlake. So that's the book we're going to get into now, I think. Mm-hmm.
The book that you're going to talk about, because you're so much better at it than I am.
So, in Dragonbound, we are introduced to Pia. At the beginning, she is a half-were, half-human. She's a... What do they keep calling her? Not a hybrid, or a halfling, or a...
I don't even remember.
Anyway, I'm sure I shouldn't have started down that path of trying to remember a word that I don't remember, because that's a good way to start.
Yes.
Anyway, Pia. She is planning some crime that she knows is just going to destroy her life. So she's about ready to take this turn in life that she doesn't want to have to take, but she's pressured into it. And then the male protagonist of the book is Dragos Wellebray. Apparently writing down names is hard. He is a dragon, mm-hmm. shifter, dragon wear. Pretty sure the only dragon in the world. Mm-hmm. This is a world where around the medieval times, humans became aware of the elder races, the other beings that we share the planet with. Mm-hmm. So there are shifters and fairies and elves and all kinds of things living alongside humans. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows about them. They know that they exist.
Not in secret. They're not hidden.
There's certain kingdoms or domains set mm-hmm. up between the elder races. We don't exactly know. I think there's 7, but I'm not 100% sure on it. The whole world hasn't really been fully built for us yet, but there's different territory. The wares have it, and the head of the wares is Drago. Drago?
I think it's Dragos.
Dragos.
You're thinking Draco from Harry Potter, which is sort of
And
what
I'm also thinking dragon.
And dragons.
And I don't think that's his name.
The way Sophie said it was Dragos.
Dragos. So, long story short, Pia steals something from Dragos because she's blackmailed into it. She goes on the run to try and evade him because he is a super angry dragon.
He's
about
powerful.
Ready to kill people for no reason. And he catches her and is immediately... actually, he's intrigued before he even catches her. He's intrigued mm-hmm. because she leaves a scrap of paper behind and he can smell her and it just sets him up. He knows that he has
something
to meet this intriguing
woman.
About
her.
And so he meets her, he chases her down, hauls her back. They get into trouble with fairies and with elves and fairies and all kinds of things, but they fall in love and they make it work, and it's delightful. It's a really good story.
So we know, I mean, obviously you're coming back to listen to us talk about these books. You guys know that we delve pretty deeply into them and talk about the plot and everything. So super, super spoiler about this book. And, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but we're just letting you guys know now. I guess we should have let you guys know 15 minutes ago.
Well, so far I haven't said anything that right. literally wouldn't be on the cover of the sure. book anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, though, this book has a couple of really big twists mm-hmm. that are super fun to read.
Yes.
So if you do not like having books spoiled for you, you shouldn't listen to this just podcast stop listening. Until after you've read the book.
Yes.
And then you can come listen to the podcast and see if you agree with
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Maybe this podcast isn't for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you don't mind and you're just going to be happy to hear what we have to say about yeah. the book and going to go read it anyway or right. not, yeah. regardless.
It may entice you to read it.
Then so. Keep listening. But yeah. it is super fun.
It's great.
And yeah, it was interesting. Like, it's just, it's well written. The characters are intriguing. Mm-hmm. They have their flaws, but they aren't like overwhelming. You're not like battered over the head by one particular flaw over mm-hmm. and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just, it's really good. It was a refreshing, exciting book. And guess what? It's a fucking dragon again.
I know, right?
I love dragons.
We're just gotta face the facts. So far, dragons have been the beast.
They're the best.
They're just what we're after.
And on top of it, all his like seconds in command, his number yeah. two level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're griffins.
Griffins, Thunderbirds, a harpy. Okay, like I literally was playing World of Warcraft when I was listening to this book. So not only was I playing my favorite game on the whole wide world, but I was listening to books about characters that are in this game that I was playing. So I was literally living my experiences in this book while I was playing the video game. And my main character is a blood elf. I know I'm totally nerding it out right now. I know
that
I am.
Is fine,
but
I'm
there's
sure.
harpies and elves and griffins and dragons and everything in this video game. And I was like, this is perfect. It was serendipitous. Is that a
is.
Word?
Yes, it is a okay. word, and you used it accurately.
Okay, great. I guess to know what it means. I didn't know if serendipitous was a word. But anyway.
It is.
So major props to Sophie Eastlake. That I really liked listening to her read this book.
She read it very well.
She read it very, very well. And Thea Harrison. Thank
Thea
you.
Harrison's a great author.
Thank you for writing this book.
And I'm
that was
super fascinated
fantastic.
In this world, and I want to mm-hmm. go back and read the rest
I
of the series.
I want to live in this world, man.
I really do want to live in it. I find it's very upsetting now that I'm half-breed?
Never.
Half-breed.
Let's go with half-breed. I'm jingling. I'm sorry.
You are jingling.
I can't.
Anyway, so Pia set on this course by her horrible, awful ex-boyfriend Keith. And he, like, blackmails her. So we meet him in the beginning and he's a total asshole. Uh-huh. She has these special powers, but she doesn't exactly know what she is. She knows she's a half-breed. She knows her mom was some kind of creature or being or...
Supernatural being.
Supernatural something.
Paranormal.
And her father was human and they fell in love and... But she doesn't... Like, growing up with her mom is just teaching her to, like, run and to hide and to live a secret life away, you know, in with humanity. Don't get messed in with all of the wares or the magical creatures because you can't... She was supposed to stay away from them and kind of avoid. Like, that was the only way she was going to be safe is if she avoided that kind of society.
Right.
She lived a quiet life as far out of it as she could. But, you know, when you're magical, even half magical... It's hard because
it's
she doesn't really fit in with humans mm-hmm. and she can feel magic and stuff. So.
And she's got her special talents and Pia's not even her real name and that's how she's...
It's her human name.
Well, she's got like a couple different names.
Well, she got identities because
that's
her mom
is
always
identities,
teaching her
right.
how to like hide and to make false identities right. and to have mm-hmm. dead drops and to basically be Jason Bourne as well as also...
Yeah, that's what it is. That's a great one. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And then Dragos is not only the only dragon, he is as old as the solar system, apparently. He fell into existence and creation around the same time that the sun was created. I don't know. That seemed a little stretchy for me, but whatever. I'll accept that.
He's the one who killed the dinosaurs, let's just say it.
He ate them all. But, so he's ancient, like, beyond ancient. He's the oldest
he's
thing
ever. He's
definitely
the oldest character we've ever had, apparently.
Well, yeah, this is millennia.
He lived, like, before the sands of time.
So he's older than the Earth.
Almost alien-like, I mean, because then he was just...
Yeah, I mean, the way that was described was a little weird.
Yeah.
I had a hard time with that particular... But it's quick. It's not, like, drug out. It's just, like...
So quick that I missed it. I didn't even know that.
Oh, well. Just, there you go. It happened.
But what's new? What's new?
So he's, and you know, he's built up this pretty significant empire. Mm-hmm. He has an arch enemy who is the Dark Fae King, Urien, who is apparently there's light in Dark Fae, which we encountered in the last mm-hmm, book mm-hmm. without the fairies. And I don't like the last book.
and never talk about it again.
I know, let's not bring it up anymore. Yeah, so he has this empire of, like, industry, and he has hordes and hordes of valuables, and he has a whole court of people who work for him, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it turns out he's been bored for, like, centuries, he thinks. He didn't realize he'd been bored, mm-hmm. but it's just, I guess if you're older than the Earth, yeah. you know, really...
And you're rich as hell.
Day-to-day activity's probably yeah. pretty goddamn boring. yeah. And so he... encounters Pia, and as soon as he meets her, he just knows, like, she keeps surprising him. Mm-hmm. She does the weirdest things that he keeps describing her as an or, like, his reactions and his encountering is like an ostrich with a sundae on its head. Like, that's how out of place and yeah. unusual it is. And yeah. I loved that imagery
it's
from
so cute.
Thea. It was mm-hmm. like that was just, like, really genius imagery. Because mm-hmm. as soon as you say ostrich with a sundae on its head, you're yeah. like, why on earth would that happen?
Oh.
what yeah. is that?
Exactly.
And so that's kind of what's going on between him and Pia in the beginning. Because mm-hmm. every time, you know, she steals from him, which should be, like, horrifying. Mm-hmm. But instead of stealing... Okay, we're getting into spoilers now, people. So instead of stealing, you know, his most valuable jewels mm-hmm. or paintings or money even, she steals a single penny.
A penny.
And she replaces it penny. With a penny.
Yep.
Take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah, she so, sure did.
And he's just like, what the fuck? So he's pissed because somebody stole from him, but he's also kind of like...
penny. But that penny was supposed to be worth a lot. Wasn't it?
No, the penny itself is not worth any. It's
oh,
worth a penny.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay. I thought it was one
no,
of those special pennies.
It was just a penny. But it because it was his and his possession, they were able to use it to track him.
Right.
The people who set this all in motion. It had value, just not the monetary
right.
value.
And it's just, it's goofy.
It's cute.
And it makes it human, really.
It is. There's a lot in this that really kind of feels human mm-hmm. to a lot of these characters. Mm-hmm. Like... Pia is a vegan, and mm-hmm. Dragos is a, you know, carnivore, because mm-hmm. he's a fucking dragon who used to eat
he
people.
He used to eat people, yes!
He had a conversation mm-hmm. with a human and decided after that he wasn't going to eat anyone mm-hmm. who could talk. Mm-hmm. He would never eat people, anyone who could talk again, so only non-talking animals.
That's so amazing. Yeah, and he has... I don't remember. Do you remember the griffin's name?
Well, they were all, like, Rune, Constantine, Brayden, and Grimm were his four main griffins.
Right. Rune, I think, was the...
Rune is his, like number
second
two.
Hand.
Yeah, his right-hand person.
Right-hand.
Rune is,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems interesting. Mm-hmm. Possibly gonna have his own book and later on in the series.
We have no knowledge for saying that.
No, not at all.
I would hope, because I like him.
I like him, too.
I want to get stories on some of the griffins and mm-hmm. a Thunderbird. He has one enforcer in his group who's mm-hmm. a Thunderbird, which mm-hmm. I think they said maybe was one of the only ones left. And I find that a fascinating
yeah.
mythological creature to be able to shift into. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to get the background on
yeah.
that.
It's
not too often. Maybe it's just a genre I'm not as familiar with, but like the Native American folklore spirits mm-hmm. and creatures, I don't think are too often brought into books like this. So
right.
it'd be interesting. It's yeah. like so much of it is so heavily European. Wolves, werewolves,
vampires,
you know, like Romania. Like mm-hmm. all that is so heavily
yeah.
European historical folklore and folk tales that it'd be really interesting to have a tale about like the Thunderbirds of mm-hmm. North America mm-hmm. or some of those other cultures'
yep.
beliefs and folk tales.
Yeah, so. That'll be a good one. That's one of the great aspects of this book is that she brings in all these different types of beings.
Yes.
So I don't even think they talk about vampires in this. Maybe they do. Maybe they brought it up like
I
once
feel like
very
it got,
briefly.
It got passed over.
Yeah.
Something about a vampire.
Or something. Yeah. But, I mean, they're fucking elves. I mean, I know we talked about fairies in the last book, but fairies in these ones. Griffins, I mean, we're just naming off a few that she's talking about. But this is like expanding and broadening what type of beings can be in any type of world. And she brought them all in this book. Yeah,
she pretty much, like, took for, you know, so far just one book. It seems like she's brought in as many as you can think of. It's fascinating.
It's great.
Super interesting.
Super, super great. And the characters weren't assholes, which is always a plus. And I know that you want to have the antagonists and stuff like that. And there were bad guys in this book that got defeated and... But we've had a problem with a lot of the male leads in some of the books that we have read being just so aggressive or so possessive to a crazy extent. Because he's a little possessive too, but that's because he's falling in love with her.
He's falling in love with her, and he is a dragon, which by nature is possessive and hoards things.
Right.
Like, all dragon lore are dragons like to hoard things. So he's fighting that. He's also fighting not really ever experiencing these emotions.
Right.
Like, he is ancient. He's the oldest thing on the planet, and he's never done that. He treats intimacy as just, like, an occasional fuck here and there. And while he has his moments where he's an asshole, he talks with Pia. Like, that was something that was really important. Like, when he knows he's fucked up, he sits her down, even if she's yelling at him and, like, telling him to go away. And he's like, tell me what I've done. Yeah. I can't not do it if I don't know.
Right.
Like, if you don't tell me how I fucked up, I can't make sure I don't do it again. And she tells him. And it's so fucking refreshing because the past couple of books have been, you know, not the most recent one, but the ones before it, were a lot harder where the man didn't seem to care, or they take that, like, feral creature or supernatural being as license to behave badly and not need to learn and grow. You know, I don't feel as if they really grew before, but he seemed interested in learning, and he would sometimes, he had to list, like, even if Pia wouldn't tell him, the guys around him, his warriors would be like, dude, you're falling in love with her and you're acting like an asshole. Like, you know, we've seen this before, not in you, but you've seen it. You know what's happening to you just aren't witnessing it.
Yeah.
So.
And that's cool about, like, this book, because a lot of, with these type of books, we're going to get a lot of cookie cutter pieces. And a lot of them that we've read before were, I was in love 500 years ago and that broke my heart. I'll never fall in love again. He's never experienced this type of feeling before. So this is, like you said, totally brand new. So that's another cool thing about this book. It doesn't follow the same lines as the rest of the books where he's just, like, completely heartbroken and I never, you know, I'm a dragon, but I can't handle a heartache or a heartbreak. He's experienced all these new feelings. She doesn't even know really how she feels and stuff. She's still trying to figure out who she is.
I think, she's been messed up a lot. Her mother raised her to try as best she could protect her, and in doing so, kept her out of both worlds. So Pia is searching for her place and where she belongs and feels very lonely. And that's actually how she got into all the trouble in the first place, is because she fell for that Keith guy who was just a pretty dude. And she thought there was more there than there really was because of how lonely she felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so she shared a secret with him. She can unlock all doors. Like, no doors can hold her. No, no doors can hold her. Yeah, kind of like Anya from our second book. So she was just, they were drunk one night and she's like, look, I can come, you know, break out of anything. And and so she told him this secret that she'd never told anyone, because that was her mother's number one rule, was you don't tell anyone about anything. Yeah. And it ended up coming back and biting her on the ass.
Took advantage of it.
Basically was going to lead to her death, you know? And so she's struggling because she's lonely and she wants to belong, but she doesn't think she belongs anywhere, that she's good enough, because she doesn't think she has any of the powers that her mom had. She thinks she's like a pale comparison. And so, yeah, so she's, you know, meeting Dragos for this, you know, and he's so intense and seems to be, like, claiming her. And she's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So she's battling that and he's battling figuring out
human feelings, really.
And it's really cute.
It's really cute.
And it's sexy.
It is.
It's not just cute. I keep using the word cute.
Yeah.
I think mostly because I just really like this book.
Well, it is. It's adorable. The relationship's really adorable, but the intimacy and the foreplay and the hotness leading up to the actual sex is good. And while a lot of these scenes sort of, you know, mimic the other books that we've read, I don't know. I think if you like a character, you like the sex better.
Yep.
So This one was better. Because while there was, like, tons and tons of fucking sex with the Trey one, the werewolf Feral one, sins, the Feral sins, that was just so... I don't want to talk about that one either. But it was just... we were so disheartened. No, it was. So it was horrifying, and I didn't, Trey.
It didn't turn me on because right. the relationship between the two of them felt so...
It was so toxic.
So toxic and so unsafe that I didn't want them to keep having right. sex. I was right. like, stop.
It was stop. Bad.
So that doesn't... Bad. That didn't put me in a sexy mood.
Right.
But this book turned me on because it was mm-hmm. like... They were into each mm-hmm. other, and they didn't treat each other shittily. I mean, they had misunderstandings, and they'd fight, and, like, sure. he would lock her up and say, you're mine, and she'd be like, I don't belong to people, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna go out to Starbucks. And, you know, like, things like that. They had to, like, test each other's boundaries and yeah. kind of figure it out, but they didn't. He really quickly backed down and, like, no, she's allowed to do what she wants, and... You guys have to follow her and go everywhere mm-hmm. she goes because mm-hmm. you have to keep her safe, but gotta do what she wants to do.
And he never ignored her or pushed her away so much because he was so scared of what he would do to her or like, yeah, the feelings that he was starting to have. What book was it where,
like, somebody stopped talking to somebody else for, like, a week?
It was,
Because that was fuck. So annoying. Why can't we think they, like, of just literally any... stopped talking to
it
each other.
It was Wrath, wasn't it? Wrath? Wrath and his chick?
No, because I don't think that book even took place in a week. I think that book took place in, like, a day or two.
That's true.
I think it might have been Trey.
Oh, I think it was Trey. I think you're
he
right.
Stopped talking to her.
Yeah, for, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Now we're going off on a different one. But anyway, so yeah, so it. I don't know what else to say besides I fucking love this book.
Well, let's see. Oh, I do think that this book might slightly be a hair fetish book.
I didn't know where the fuck that was going. And literally, I was surprised by that.
Nonstop, her hair is described in this book. Oh, like, from beginning to... Like, I think it's in the very first paragraph.
Yeah.
Where she's outside and her hair... she talks about her messy ponytail is all uh-huh. disheveled and ruffled. And then literally every guy she comes into contact with combs her hair out for her.
Yep.
Her boss does it at one point.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I had a male boss who was like a mentor to me once, and I think he started to comb my hair out.
I can't imagine him combing your hair, because I know him. It's so crazy.
Oh,
oh my god,
that was so bad.
That would be creepy.
Yeah, so, you know, so there was that, like, he was obsessed with the color of the hair, he smelled the hair, he held the hair up to the sun, mm-hmm. like, her hair was literally, and then not even just her hair, the harpy's hair, what was her name?
Ariel.
Ariel. Like, her hair was frequently described because it was mm-hmm. tangled, her hair was a mess.
Yeah, she was fucking a mess.
So at some point, I was just like, this book is a hair fetish.
It does.
His hair's described all the time. Yep. She's constantly running her yep. fingers through his silky black hair that has mm-hmm. not even a kink or curl mm-hmm. in it. It's pure, like, completely mm-hmm. straight. Like, literally know these people's hair to a T. So I think maybe it's slightly got a hair fetish.
I think there's something definitely creepy about a hair because what he does throughout the book is he asks for her for a lock of hair. Like, that's all he wants from her in the beginning is, I just need a fucking lock of your hair. And she's just like, no, that's weird. So she cuts it off, braids it, and then ties it around his wrist like a yes. fucking friendship bracelet.
He wears her hair on his wrist as a bracelet. Now, I will interject the historical fact that hair jewelry is a historical thing that existed for a long time, especially in, like, the Edwardian Victorian era. All
right.
They would make jewelry out of hair. You make it out of dead loved ones' hair and wear it.
Oh,
your sweetheart. Sometimes you would wear your sweetheart's hair as a hair ring.
Dude, I just got real creeped out.
Yeah, it was gross and weird. You should see a collection of it.
No.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's in museums and stuff, yeah. Old really? Victorian hair jewelry. It was a thing. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt since he's old.
I did not know that.
He lived through an era of when hair was supposed to be jewelry.
All right, a new part of history I just learned there.
We're going to Google it when we're done with this so you can see it.
The horror films that I am most terrified of, okay, I'm scared of everything.
Yes.
But the ones that I am most terrified of are the ones that involve hair. So, like, The Ring.
I have not seen any because you're terrified of them. I won't even see them.
No, it's like, but there are a lot. Like, I like to watch a lot of Japanese or Korean horror flicks mm-hmm. because they're corny, mm-hmm. but they're good and they're scary as fuck. The white gown and the long black hair.
Oh, that's a fucking terrifying
It's
image.
A terrifying thing, and it's always got something to do with hair.
I didn't.
I'm so distraught right now, Kalina.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god. But,
okay, we're gonna move on. Like, it's not scary in this book, though.
It's not scary.
Don't think about the scary things.
Fuck.
It's supposed to be nice.
That's right. Yes.
It's just gross. Also, I mean, like, her hair is always dirty. Like, it always gets dirty, and then they have to clean it, or wash it, or shampoo it, or condition it, or brush it. Also, she brushes her hair wet, which is not good for your hair. Sorry, everyone.
Don't do that. I also didn't know. I totally brush my hair wet.
Your hair breaks a lot easier when it's wet. You end up with a lot more breakage. You can use a giant, like one of those combs with the real big wide fingers, because that's not so much. Kind of like detangles your hair, because it is easier to detangle, especially with conditioner or right after you put conditioner in it. But like using a small like brush, you're not supposed to do it, because your hair can break a lot easier when it's wet than when it's dry. Anyway,
and that's side the PSA note, for the episode. We do a PSA for every episode. So don't brush your hair while it's wet.
We should rename the podcast. Kalina tells you shit she only thinks she knows. With 100% authority. Like, she fucking knows what she's talking about.
I fucking love it. I love it. Oh my God.
I just like, oh, did you know this information? Someday that's gonna fucking come back and bite me in the ass.
Oh my God.
But, especially because she's supposed to have really, really thick hair. Like, they talk about how thick her hair is and how long it is. It's like almost down to her ass. And I'm like, you brush that way. I've had hair that long and that thick, and it is not good to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
You need to let it dry.
That blonde.
I don't know if it was as blonde. They talked to her about her blonde being almost white. My hair, well, when I was really young, it was almost white.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, now it's black. It's not even close. It's been a while.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
So does the hair save him later on?
It doesn't save him. He's able to use it to track her, but then they take her into the magic world, the other realm. And the tracking spell breaks.
Okay.
So it's not actually useful at all.
Okay.
Okay. It really doesn't end up being as useful as you would think it was going to be. But it's important because, so we know what her hair is, this really fair gold and blonde, almost white blonde. She kind of glows when she's not. She can use a dampening spell, which is how all the wares basically pass in society. They have some form of glamour that they can use to look human. You know, it's how Dragos can change from being a dragon into a human and walk around like a human. Well, she can put this, you know, dampening spell on so she doesn't glow. Otherwise, she'd walk around as a fucking like glow stick all the time. And people would be like, what the hell? So we find out that she glows. She can open doors. She has a weird thing where her blood can heal, but she's not 100% sure about that until she heals him. Those are her special things. But still, you know, she won't talk about her mom or where she comes from or who she is. She doesn't really know.
He keeps asking her throughout this book to tell him her real name. And that was the most important thing that her mom told her not to do.
Because names have power.
Never tell anybody your real name. So, I mean, from the very beginning, he's asking her for her name. And you know what? After they fall in love and she ends up telling him her name. But does she tell us her name? No. She didn't fucking tell us her name. Don't even know her name. I just love that. Because I was just like, wait, I know I miss a lot of things in the book. I bet you Kalina would get it. Nope. Never said.
Nope. No, she does tell him he can help her. But we don't know what it is. It's a secret.
So fun.
I like it. It's well done.
Yeah.
It's
well absolutely
done. Should we talk about her big secret? What she is?
So, if guys don't want to hear about it, this is the time where you guys hit the stop button. Come back after you've read the book.
So good. She's a unicorn!
She's a motherfucking unicorn! Hence why she can't be locked up, though. I don't know if that's a folklore or not. But she fucking glows, and her blood heals. That makes total sense now.
And she she's immune to poison. And that's why she keeps waking up from the poison. Like, when the fairies catch her and they keep shooting her.
That's right.
It doesn't last very long on her, because humans, apparently. That's right. But everyone, even Dragos, who is
the oldest
thing on Earth, world. In the universe, or maybe not universe, solar system at least, he mentioned, was never sure if unicorns really did exist.
Yeah.
you know, he'd heard about them and there's the folklore of them, but he had thought maybe they had always been mythical and maybe had never. So he'd never seen one. He'd never met one. He thought maybe he had, her scent reminded him of a vague memory of chasing something in a forest, like chasing a scent in the forest, but never being able to catch it. So maybe he had encountered or smelled a unicorn when he was young. Yeah. But he never actually saw one. So even to him, like, she's just as unique and special and unusual as he is. Because there's no other unicorns.
That's so awesome. It's really cool that she's got all these different characters in it. But then to bring in a unicorn is just so... That was just, like, the cherry on top.
I, like, almost cried. I know.
I was so excited. Fucking happy. I was like... At first, I didn't know what to think. I was like, what? Because it's not like you can flip a page. I mean, you can always hit rewind, but it's different listening to the book, you know? That's fucking awesome.
I was real excited, because I've never...
No, me either.
That never even occurred to me, and especially to be a were-unicorn. So she's like,
yeah, unicorn. Yeah.
You know, she can transform and become a unicorn and run around and do whatever she wants as a cool unicorn, but then she can go back to being human. She's not like... Oh my
just
God,
it was a yeah, because cool. When there are unicorns in a book or a movie or whatever, they're just unicorns.
They usually are basically horses with horns. Yeah,
just unicorn. You don't transform into them.
No, but this is a person who's also a unicorn, which I think maybe is the thing I've always wanted to be in my life. I have a bag that I carry around that says I'm a fucking unicorn.
Yes, yes she does. Yes, she does.
Because I'm a fucking unicorn.
It is awesome. It is fucking awesome. Which can lead us into our kiss and tell. I think this is a good time to get into what we're talking about. Now that we know that there are new creatures being introduced into the really from this main book, one of our past recordings, we talked about what supernatural paranormal being it is that we would be. And you said you would be a shapeshifter.
Yes, but I didn't have it pinned down.
Right.
And now... Well, here's the thing. Because this book gave me two ideas.
Okay, okay.
I do love unicorns, but when they brought in the griffins, I was like, I fucking love griffins!
Oh, yeah, griffins are awesome too.
Because I wanted to be a fuzzy lion who can fly.
Yes.
So I can't decide. Because unicorns are so magical and awesome. But fluffy lions with wings. That sounds awesome, too. Oh, I kind of want to be a fluffy lion with wings.
What you gotta do is get the unicorn and the griffin. Well...
I would be a Pegasus.
Be a Pegasus, yeah.
But a unicorn Pegasus.
You would have the wings with the horns.
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
You know what?
I can be whatever I want.
You could be whatever the fuck you want. If you want to be a fluffy lion unicorn Pegasus.
Yes.
Because the idea of flight is awesome.
Flight, I think, would be cool if you could have it as a winged creature, like a dragon or a bird or a griffin or a Pegasus. I've never wanted to fly as a human. Like, that's never been a superpower I wanted. Like, when we talked about superpowers, I've been like, no, I think flying sounds terrible as a human. But for some reason, it sounds okay if that's your natural state is to fly.
Sure. I would love to fly. I think that's what I said my superpower would be, is to fly. I think I would still be a witch. Okay, if I had to choose a WoW character to be, it would be a blood elf. I still really, really love the idea of being in regular human form, but having magical powers. But I want the ability to fly. I need.
Well, if you're a witch, I think you can fly.
With the broom. Well. Unless I'm Voldemort, then I can fly. Voldemort was the only one that could fly without a broom.
In that particular world. Yes,
in that particular world.
I think in other...
I guess that's true. If you can be a fluffy lion,
if I could be a fluffy unicorn Pegasus.
Then I could be a flying witch.
Like, imagine like a chow dog with a whole unicorn horn and wings. Isn't that adorable?
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. Sorry. Ooh, that was a kiss and tell, then. That was a really tame one.
Sure.
But. This can also lead into our next one. Sex and Sut in this book was great. It was good.
It was really good.
It's, I mean, whatever you can imagine as romantic and sexy and steamy and hot from any other book that you've listened to or that you've read, it's going to be it.
Yeah.
But think of it differently.
They're pretty well described. Mm-hmm. The sex scenes are pretty, they have a good rhythm to them.
Yeah.
Because they crescendo a couple times. Like, she goes through different she, you know, takes the characters to different climaxes, takes you with the characters. It's very, I enjoyed them. There was one in particular I was listening to today while at work, and I found myself just, like, zoned out, pacing, like, staring out the window, like, oh, this is not for work consumption. if anyone walked in, they'd be like, why are you staring out the window with a head of haze over your face? I'd be like, I don't know. It's not what? Because I'm listening to sex scenes in my headphones.
Awesome.
That's it. So I really know. I think that they did. She did a. Thea did a good job, and they're good sex scenes. They're pretty intense. At one point, she uses the. This is the phrase that Pia uses. She's like, "Well, this isn't the kind of sex where you, or this isn't yawn and make up a grocery list while he finishes sex."
This is, like,
and that just cracked me the fuck up.
That's so real, though.
That's so real.
So real.
Like, it went right to my heart.
Right,
I was like,
it's right here in your heart when you're thinking of painting your ceiling, or
like, I need potatoes. Yeah,
washing
and
your sheets and
like, you just start making a list of shit to do, and you're like, that's not great, and I feel but it's.
That's awesome.
There.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yep.
It happens sometimes. It happens. And so she was describing that, you know, sex with Dragos is not yawn and make up a grocery list while in until he finishes.
Awesome.
So these are good. And yeah, very descriptive. And she uses fun descriptive words.
Well, she built two really engaging and really beautiful characters. I really liked Pia. And I liked Dragos, too. Because he was innocent in ways, especially as far as, like, trying to understand his new emotions and these different human feelings that he hasn't ever felt before, so.
Yeah, because it turns out that they were actually mating. Like, it turns out that they were going through the process of the where society, or where kind, where you mate. And when you mate, it's for life. And it doesn't always happen. Not every mare where experiences it. And he just assumed it wasn't going to happen for him because he was so old and hadn't happened yet. And all of a sudden, he is. And that's a very intense process for wares. It's much bigger than just anything that humans go through. And it's for life. And it also happens to be for baby.
Yes.
Because we have another instantaneous pregnancy, despite all odds, despite having an IUD. Apparently, there's a twist in this world where the wares can control their reproduction. So if they decide they don't want to have kids, they just don't.
What?
I know.
That's amazing. Well,
I know. I know. When she said that, I was like, "What the fuck." I don't know why you had to add that piece,
that
was weird. But because she was half, so she had an IUD, because she couldn't control hers, because she was only half-breed and not full ware. But as a full ware, he should have been able to just be like, no, we're not having kids. But apparently, he was so taken by this mating that he lost all control and just was using his full force sperm and not his leg.
Right.
Half-force sperm.
The ones that he's like, he commands them normally, but yeah, she is. So he's telepathic. They actually
all of them are. All the wares are.
Are all of them ware? I didn't realize that.
Yep.
You guys might think that I haven't read this book or any of the books. Just please understand that I read this book a week ago all in one day.
Yes. Because you were going by the approved the schedule of when we were going to do this recording.
Yes.
And I went, I'm not listening.
Yeah.
It's my birthday.
And
I'm going to go
happening.
And sleep for 2 days.
Yep. That's what she did. Which is all good. But I have since forgotten lots of the book. But that really isn't any different than before. I usually always forget anyway. And I don't pick up the same things you do. So, dang, if this was like a solo podcast, it'd be the worst one ever. Because I wouldn't remember dick about anything.
That's why we have each other.
Exactly.
Because we need each other to fill in what each of us is lacking.
Absolutely. So.
Anything else?
Well, I think before we went off on a tangent there, I think we were going to talk a little bit about why we do what we're doing here and why we read these books.
Oh, yeah.
And we can.
I took that away from
that's
that.
All right. We can segue into the next book we're going to read.
Yes.
Because of it. I mean, like, that's,
we
came up with this topic because of this next book that we're going to read. So, I'll just say it. So, the next book, we'll tell you about the next book that we're going to read that you guys can join us on, but we pick these books from different lists that we find and just whatever is out there. We do a lot of Audible books, which is great.
We love Audible.
Yeah.
If they ever want to give us a sponsorship, we really appreciate it.
They're fantastic.
Or just, like, you know, give me my membership for free, considering.
Yeah. We'll take it. That'll be good. Why don't you just give us a free package of romance novels?
Just all the romance books.
Yeah, we'll take it. So we don't always, but sometimes we read the reviews on some of these books that we're going to read, just so that we know that we're actually getting into the right type of book that we're looking
for. Yes, like last book, we didn't read anything about, and we were all very angry about that book. We're trying to not have that happen again.
We read some of the reviews on this next book we're going to read, and it's actually a negative review on the book, which is actually enticing us to read it more. Because for some reason, this person decided that they were going to read a romance sexy book and then complain about how romantic and sexy this book is. So, we're like,
I don't know where they found it, but it was classified. The next book is, I don't know.
The next book we are going to read is called Angel's Blood. It's the first of the Guild Hunters series. It's from Nalini Singh, and it's going to be narrated by Justine Eyre.
Yes. Wherever, you know, this person who is reviewing it, and everyone has absolute, and you know, entitled to their own opinion. We've cut some books apart here, and I'm sure there are people who are going to disagree with us on that. Mm-hmm. But they said that this book was classified as an urban fantasy romance, and then proceeded to be upset about the romance in the book. And I was like, well, it was classified as a romance.
Yeah.
You take your luck with that, then. It's probably going to have sex in it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point, from our point of view.
Absolutely.
You know, I can absolutely understand. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of genre. And I read some fantasy books and some supernatural books that are not romance. And I'm fine with that. And I want them to be the way they are. But I read romance books for romance.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, if I find it specifically in the romance section, I expect a certain level of hot, steamy sex. I want sex, and that's why we hated the last book, because there was no sex in that book, and it was very disturbing to us. But, I read a lot. I read different books for different reasons.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of different things out of those, out of different books. So I have, you know, my popcorn thriller detective books, you know, where it's just like murder mysteries. I have, you know, sci-fi books because I like to read about people flying around in space. I have my romance novels. And then there are some authors that I look to because they are really talented authors and they construct really great just novels. It's a great book. It's what I wouldn't consider to be a popcorn book. You know, usually don't expect a lot of the romance novels that we read to be the best written books.
Sure.
We talk about how a lot of them have very similar plot structures. Yeah. I mean, there's only, like, we're reading them for a purpose. Eventually, it needs to be guy meets girl, fight a little bit, fall in love a little bit, have a little sex. Like, that really needs to be the end plot of these books. That's what I want. And if it doesn't do that, I don't understand it. Then I'm reading a different genre for another reason, which is fine. I come here for sex books, and
exactly,
that's what I want.
So that, yeah, and that particular review was complaining about how it was pretty much teaser here, teaser there, and then it's leading up to the real thing. Well, yeah.
I hope that's... so. So now we're going to try.
Right. You know, I mean,
we're going to read that book and see if we agree.
And we talked earlier in the segment about how we like Roland and Quinn the best. Dragos is going to be on one of my top guys as well. Yeah. And it's that relationship between the two main characters of how they first start off. They do a little bit of fighting, but they get to know each other and they're so endearing to each other and they fall in love so much nicer than some of the other characters did in other books. We have, obviously, a genre within our genre that we like.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the authors even would argue that all of them have fallen in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that they think that. And I've now said think too many times in this sentence. But from the way that, you know, I read them, I didn't see it. Or I don't know, maybe that's a disconnect on the character, or, you know, that particular author and I, who knows? But this book had that. It had that relationship building. It had the two characters kind of learning each other and, like, growing together and becoming intimate in a way that that's what I want to read about.
Yeah.
Because it's exciting and it gives me that enjoyment, you know? And we're kind of doing this to bring some of these books... I don't want to say out of the darkness, because this is a huge genre of books and lots of people read them and lots of women read them. I just... think that they aren't talked about openly because women's sexuality is still a little taboo. We're still in a day and age where, you know, women aren't necessarily supposed to be enjoying these things. Or it's just supposed to be, do it by yourself. Don't talk about
it. You don't need to talk about it. It is,
you don't need to tell us what romance novels you're reading. You don't need to share that with us. So...
And it's being, I mean, that mold is being broken more and more every day, especially now, you know.
Yes, with this is definitely a time and era where women are stepping up and taking ownership of their sexuality and being like, you know, we aren't going to have to hide this anymore or, like, be ashamed of it. Like, we can control it. And being taught that it's something shameful is no longer okay, because it's not. It's part of nature and just being human, so... That's exciting. And yeah, that, like, for the most part, the review wasn't, I mean, it was negative about the book, but it wasn't, like, mean or anything.
Right.
It did take one turn where it was like, well, the more women that read these.
It did sort of get a little more nasty.
The more this genre is going to go in this direction of, you know, sex and romance. And I was like, I'm pretty sure you're reading the wrong book.
Yeah.
Is what I've decided.
Yeah, if they wanted a fucking history book, then pick up a history book. Go pick up a different type of story. But don't pick up a romance novel and then complain about the characters falling in love. It's just not, it just was not the place. And they weren't the only ones. I mean, a lot of people piggybacked off of that one review and said, I agree, blah, 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 blah. But it's
there are also a lot of positive reviews for this.
There were a ton of positive
this,
reviews.
This author, Nalini Singh, has been at the top of a lot of lists that we've been reading lately about, you know, books that we should, authors we should be reading, books we should be reading. So, hopefully, next book turns out to be as interesting and as good as the book we read today, because we really liked it. And
as good as the rest of the reviews that we saw, because it was really just that one that really caught my eye.
And we wanted to bring it up because it kind of tapped into...
Why we
do this, and, you know, what we're hoping to bring to the field, and, you know, our interest, you know, sharing that and discussing lady boners.
Yes! Lady boners. Absolutely. I fucking love that. Yes. We talk about lady boners. That's fucking brilliant. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you for... bringing that image to my brain.
You are welcome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know that sounds sarcastic, but no, I'm being serious.
I know you are.
Totally being serious.
I do.
So, do we want to give it our...
Ooh, dirty pleasure rating. So we have to come up with our dirty pleasure rating for Dragonbound. I'm going to give it... God, I really wish I remembered what I gave any book.
I know. We're terrible at everything. We just don't keep track of anything.
Someday. I think I'm going to give it a 7. Sploosh.
Sploosh.
That's awesome. Because it was good. I enjoyed the book. Like the characters a lot. Nice sex scenes that are sprinkled throughout the book. They're not, like, all at the end or, you know, you get a couple throughout. So, it's good.
Yeah.
7. Oh, yeah. A nice solid 7.
That's good. I'm going to have to agree and give it a 7 as well. I'm going to give this one a slow ride sparkling 7. I don't make any sense.
Sure it does.
Why not? Because
there's unicorns.
There's fucking unicorns in it. Anything that has a unicorn in it is sparkling. So this shit is sparkling. And it was a slow ride, and it was a good slow ride.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took time, but it was lovely
mm-hmm.
and well-written, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I liked it. Liked it a lot. So, listen up, people, because I'm going to get this shit right. I know I didn't get it right for the past ever. I don't think I've ever gotten this right. But we would really, really love it if you guys followed us on our social media. Our Twitter handle is @sturdybooks, and our Facebook is the same, @sturdybooks. And our Gmail account is sturdybooks@gmail.com. Our shs have three H's, SHHH. And, you know, contact us and let us know what you think. Give us suggestions about what books you want us to read, or tell us we've been wrong about this last book, because just anything. Give us whatever you got. Yeah. We'll take it. I got it right.
You did?
I stumbled through that shit, but I got it right.
But you didn't say the weird at that cost at the end of everything.
Yeah. At the end. That's what it is. I can't say the email address first, because once I say .com, that's it.
Then you have to say .com.
I gotta say it for everything else.
So, yeah. Follow us and, you know, hopefully by now we're tweeting. Hey, fucking hopefully we're posting these
my
damn
God,
things.
You guys have no idea how nerve-wracking this is. And
it's our New Year's resolution.
It is.
We now have 10 in the can.
We do. We need
we're
to get this
start
shit
posting
done.
These.
We have to do this. So thank you for joining us, and we hope you guys have a good night. This is Saylet.
And this is Kalina.
Signing off.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode with some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy and wonderful introduction.